If you've already been blessed this morning, say amen. Amen. I have been blessed. And listen, God is moving faster than we can move. I mean, and that's the case. He can do more in 5 minutes than we can do in a lifetime. And God just continues to come leaps and bounds. But I tell you, I wouldn't be doing you any favors if I didn't testify to you or let Miss Presley testify to you today about what God has done. Listen, we're going to continue in our sermon series. The harvest is plentiful this morning, but God changed the message. I have to be honest with you that this week, as we have watched all the things go on this week, God has just put a powerful message on my heart that I want to share with you today. So the title to the message, at Page Heights, we always want you to take something with you. We want to be effective in you leaving with something. We want you to leave with the truth. And listen, today's truth that I want you to take home with you is, do you believe? The title of the message is, do you believe? I want you to answer that question for yourself this morning. The truth will set you free. And this morning, as you leave, as you pull out of this parking lot, I want you to nail it down to whether or not you believe. Do you believe? So before I even get started this morning, I'm going to pray. And Miss Presley Pierce is going to come up here and she's going to testify just for a few minutes. And she's going to tell you the story about what God's done in her life. I'm not limiting the time. She can talk as long as she likes. But listen, I would be doing you a disservice if I didn't let her tell you what God is doing in her life. It's amazing. Even this Wednesday, she testified to about 40 people who were here on Wednesday night. And she was talking about how God had healed her. And then Satan continued to go after her. And she experienced some of the same things again. But since then, God is faithful. Amen. Again, and she's going to tell you about it. Miss Presley, come on up here. And then before you get started, y'all give her some encouragement. Listen, it's one thing when you're back there, but when you're up here, it's a little different. I'm glad that you're here this morning. Thank you for coming up. But listen, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray, and then she's going to testify. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you, Father, that you are so big, that you are so powerful. And Father, I thank you that you are involved in each and every one of our lives. That Father, that when we are aware of what you're doing, that Father, that we can join you. And I just thank you for your power. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. And Father, I thank you for your healing on this young lady. Father, I thank you for the hunger that you put inside each and every one of us. Father, there's a hunger in each and every person in this room, and that's what brought them here today. And Father, I just ask that you would answer the question in our own lives today. Do we believe? And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hello. You don't need it?
I mean, okay, I'll just take it. It's fine.
Almost there.
Y'all just bear with me. I've never done this before. Well, Shannon did the last time, but it's fine. As everybody knows, I've had some medical issues when it comes to having many strokes. And the first time I had a mini stroke, everybody knows that I couldn't move my arm or my leg. And I asked for him. I said, can God heal me, you know? And he said, of course, you know. And it's been encouraging to have people around that I can look up to. Honestly, before the church, I didn't have anybody, but now I do. And you guys are all my family, and I appreciate that. But anyway, so my doctor called, and she was asking, do you believe? And I said, yeah, I do. And we just seen something amazing happen, and I could move my foot and my leg. And then on Wednesday night, after we got up and testified, I was in my car, and my blood pressure, I could feel it rising. And then I started to have another mini stroke. And I couldn't move my hands, and my legs started bothering me, and started stuttering again, and I was like, not again, Lord. I don't know if I can do this again. And so we went to the hospital, and, you know, they said, it's just a mini stroke. It's just a mini stroke. No worries. But just go home and rest, and you know, they put me on double of what I was on. And so I went to Christy asked Shannon if I could go to her house and they'd pray with me. And y'all, I ain't around but a bunch of people. I get nervous when I'm around a bunch of people, but I was like, all right, let's just do this. Because I know God's got a plan. So we went to Christy's house and they were sitting there. And just when I walked in, there's such a sweet sense of peace. You know, it was so good. And we sat on the couch and Pauline. She put her hand, we started to pray, and she put her hand on me, and I remember her praying, and I just remember asking God, I'm like, I believe, I do, I promise, I believe, Lord, if you can do it again, I will do anything for you, and I told him, I don't even care if you don't heal me all the way, I still will serve you, no matter what. And when they started to pray, I felt my foot, and I started moving, and I'm like, here it goes, it's about to happen. So when I started moving my foot, I was like, oh my goodness. I was like, he's doing it again. Because it always starts with my foot. It's something about my foot. I don't like feet. Maybe that's what it is. So I started in my foot. And I started moving my foot. And then I felt my leg and I grabbed Shannon's hand. And at that point, I knew I was healed again. And I started to talk. And I didn't have a stutter. And I just thanked the Lord for what he's done in my life. And that I can see it. And so I got a call yesterday, I guess, saying Kayla has my little one. She's keeping her, which is a blessing in itself. And so she called and she said, my dad wants to talk to you. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, I'm coming. So I got there and he asked me, he said, can you just tell me what God's doing in your life? Because I just want to hear it. And so I was sitting there and I was letting him know how God has healed me and how he's been so good to me. I didn't have anybody yet. Now I have a lot of people, and it's just only God can do that. Amen. And he looked at me and he said, can you lead me in the sinner's prayer? And I go, hold on. Let me go get my Bible. I don't know about this. So I started texting Shannon, like, what do I say? What do I do? Come on, hurry up. You're going to have to type a little bit faster than that because I don't know about this. So I was like, Jesus, just help me. And so we started praying. And then here comes the stepmom. She's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, we're just praying. And he just got saved. And she's like, well, I want it. And I'm like, oh, okay, awesome. Come on in, join us. You know? And so Kayla looked at me and she said, what did you say to them? And I said, nothing. It's all God.
Amen.
And God's been so good. And I can't wait to see what he has in store for all of us.
Amen. You have to tell about what happened Friday morning when you went to the doctor after we prayed.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. After we prayed, I called my doctor and I said, all right, listen, like, I'm healed. We're going to have to come in. You're going to have to test me again because I feel like something's good going on. She said, okay, come on in. So I went there as soon as I could, and she got the results back, and she came in, and there was two nurses standing beside her, and I was like, well, this isn't normal. You know, usually it's the doctor that just comes in. And she said, do you believe? And I'm like, yeah, I believe. No matter what? I'm like, yeah, I still do. She's like, there's no blood clot. It's gone.
Amen.
She took me off of all my blood thinners. She took me off of all my blood pressure medicine. She took me off everything that I, heart medicine, everything. I'm gone. It's all gone. And I'm feeling good.
Trent
say, because
I always ask him, You know, the first time that she had a stroke, and, you know, I woke up the two Wednesdays ago when it all began. She was not feeling good, and Shannon knew that she had some issues, and Shannon said that night, at Wednesday night, she was feeling lightheaded, and Shannon said, "Honey, you don't need to be alone." And like she said, she doesn't have people. That God has given her a new family. And Shannon says, "You're coming tonight. You're going to stay close because we need to keep an eye on you. Something is wrong." And I got up the next morning, y'all. I get up early in the morning. I got up at 4:45, and I walk out there on the couch, and she's sitting there, and her eye was shut, and her arm was tucked. And she couldn't move her leg. And I said, "Honey, you got to go. You got to go." But let me tell you, in the 48 hours past that, she lost her speech. She couldn't read. You know, she couldn't text. There were so many things that were happening. But I'm here to testify to you that Miss Presley, the whole time, even though when she, at some points I would talk to her when it first happened. And I would say, "Honey, you know," and I would talk to her. And she would, sometimes she would just clear her throat. She would look at me and she just... And she, she couldn't get words out. I'll tell you one word out that she would get out, and she would say, "I want to sing. I want to sing. I want to praise Him." She would continue to say that. She kept saying it over and over. "I want to sing. Can I sing?" It would take her a while. Sometimes she, and she would finally say, "Can I sing?" Because she wanted to praise the Lord. And we're going to get to watch her do it here in a few minutes. There's many people here who saw her struggle, you know, going upstairs, getting in and out of the car, you know, just the constant struggle of not being able to move her arm and her leg, and God is so good. But listen, I want to ask you the question this morning: do you believe? If you believe, if you say you believe, I want you to do a self-examination. I want you to look inside this morning. If you believe, if you can profess this morning that you believe, then I want to ask that, what is your visions in life and what are your goals? Right, because I want to submit to you this morning that if you believe, that the way that you put one foot in front of the other will testify to it each and every day. That the things that you say and the places you go, right, that those things will testify that you believe. You might say, "What do you mean, Pastor?" What it means is, I can put it to you this way. If you started a company, if you wanted it to be successful, you would need to start that company by sitting down and writing down what your vision is, what you stand for, what your goals are, right? If you want that company to be successful, it would depend on you getting all of those things nailed down in the beginning so that you end up in the right place. If you go to any big corporation like Nike or even Chick-fil-A, you go down here to Chick-fil-A, those people are the best at customer service. Y'all all know that, right? But I'm going to tell you something. You can ask the people even at Chick-fil-A at the drive-thru window, "What is your mission statement?" And every one of those people can tell you what their mission statement is. And they all believe it. They believe that they're there to perform the task that they are there for. They believe that their mission is to be great. And they're all in line with one another. Nike's the same way. Their mission is excellence. And they all know it. And they know that they're not one, but they're a team. But here's the thing I'm trying to get through to you. When you ask yourself if you believe, we need to really decide who we are. We need to look at our own mission statement. We need to look at our own goals. We need to look at our own vision. Right, we need to see where are we heading, because there is not one person in this room who will not come to the end of their life. Every single person here, without exception, will come to the end of your life. And we need to be sure that when it comes, that we're not looking back going, "Man, I wish I had stood for what I believed in.
Amen.
I should have decided early on." Right, I could have lived for what I believed in, and I didn't. You can get to the end of your days and say, "Lord, I'm sorry. But I didn't stand for what I believed in. I all the days went by. And I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what I believed. And this morning I want to nail down, when you leave this parking lot, I want you to understand what you believe. Because let me tell you, understanding what you believe also helps you to understand what you're not. When you know who you are, you know who you are not. It's too easy in today's world for us to just be going with the tide as we go to different places. There's many people in this room in your life that you have been 10 or 15 different people in your life. Because you're a different person according to who you're around. Right, your circumstances or your environment can change who you are. But this morning, if you nail down, if you say, if you profess with your mouth that you believe, your actions will also say that you believe. Right? Whenever you get around those friends, or you get around that circumstance, or you get in that place, and they say that we're going to do this, or we're going to react this way, you can say, oh, hang on a second. That's not what I believe. That's not who I am. And you can be okay with it. You can be steadfast. In 1 Corinthians 15, 58, Paul tells us, he says, therefore, brothers and sisters, all of us, brothers and sisters, be steadfast. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Right, that's what he's saying. He's saying, all of you, brothers and sisters, be steadfast. Some translations say immovable. Let nothing move you. And that's what we need to be. If we truly say that we believe, then we're immovable. That's what it's about. It's about deciding what we believe and understanding that it's important. That when we get it nailed down now, that we're not going to get to the end and go, I didn't do it right. Because what you believe is actually what you live by. If somebody looks at your life, they can see what you believe. The places you go and the things you do. You know, just like when we baptized Michael a moment ago, what a beautiful picture that is of him being the spiritual head of his household. Right? As he says that he believes, now it's up to him to actually follow through with that. When he says with his mouth, I believe, now his actions will follow suit. Right? That you will continue to take your family to church. That's when you're the spiritual leader of your household, it's not if we go to church. Every morning on Sunday morning, we get up and we go to church because it's what we do. Amen. If you believe, that's what will happen. Your feet will go one in front of the other, and it will say, Jesus, 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 Jesus.
Amen.
You know, believing is important to God. This week, I kept hearing that. So they kept saying, I mean, even the doctor she called, I mean, multiple times people have said that the testimony is much longer than she gave you, and thank you so much. But multiple times they kept calling her, and people kept saying, God has put you on my heart. Her landlord called. The doctor called. The doctor called and said, I have been told by God that he's going to heal you. Do you believe that? And she said, I believe it. I believe it.
Amen.
But I kept hearing that all week long. Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe? Do you believe? I kept hearing that. Do you believe? And she said every time, yes, I believe. But believing is important. And let me tell you why it's important to God. It's important to him because he says that if and when you believe, it's counted to you as righteousness.
Amen.
I really want that to sink in this morning before you leave here. He says that when you believe, it's counted to you as righteousness. You look in the Bible at the account of Abraham, and he takes Abraham outside and he says, Abraham, I want you to look at the stars. I want you to look up at all of them. And he did, and he says, can you count them? And Abraham says, no, I can't count all the stars, God. He says, I know you can't count them. But he said, that is how many descendants there will be under you if you believe. In the scriptures, the Holy Scripture says that Abram believed and it was counted to him as righteousness.
Amen.
And y'all, I'm here to tell you, I don't have enough time, but I'm here to tell you that, listen, that little bitty country, that little bitty people group, look, these non-believing historians can never figure it out, how this little country, this little people group of Israel and their God, listen to me, their God, God Almighty, has passed through all the other gods when they have gone and passed and died and faded away. But God Almighty will withstand the test of time and nothing will ever prevail against Him. See, they'll never. Abram, the very one I told you that he believed and it counted to him as righteousness. You got to think about how many large people groups, countries, empires. I'm talking about Rome, Babylonians, right? Assyrians. All of these people groups, and they all had their gods, right? They had these gods, and they had Baal, and they had these big statues and these big poles. They had all this stuff. And let me tell you, when those people groups were gone, their gods disappeared.
Amen.
But listen, this little bitty country of Israel, this little bitty people group of Israel, the one true God, and that's what they would say. They would always stake their claim, all of those other gods are false, and you need to stop worshiping them. But God Almighty will always stand the test of time. And listen, whenever we believe, when we believe, it's counted to us as righteousness. Well, you may not understand that fully, so I'm going to explain it to you. Everybody in this room is messed up. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, you're messed up. It's true. Every one of us is messed up. None of us are pure. No, not one. If all of your thoughts, there's a lot of ways I could communicate this to you, but if all of your thoughts came across this speaker up here, all the thoughts that you have every day, and it came out of that speaker, you would probably duck and run out that door, right, and never come back. Right, if all your thoughts came out that speaker up there, look, you probably wouldn't have friends, your kids wouldn't talk to you anymore. Right, all the people around you, your family would probably abandon you. If all the things in here came out and everybody could hear, it'd be terrible. That's just one example. I mean, here's another one. Look, if there was a screen up here in front of everyone and all the bad things you have ever done came on that screen, we'd turn back around, you'd be gone, right? You'd be nowhere to be found. But listen, here's the thing. Here's the good news. Do you know what the good news is? It's the gospel. That's another word for, you know, the gospel means good news. The good news is that if you believe in Him, Jesus, if you believe, the scripture tells us that you will not die in your sin, that you will be counted as righteous.
Amen.
Another way to think about it is the book in heaven, right, that has the account of your life, that it will say that you are righteous, not because of what you have done, but because of what Jesus did on the cross.
Yeah.
So that's what he means. It's important to God that we believe, and then it's counted to us as righteousness. That's another reason why we shouldn't judge. You know, there's people in our lives and we look at them and we're like, what are they doing? What are they thinking? Right? I mean, we all do it. We all think about sometimes we're quick to judge people around us. But I'm here to tell y'all this morning that we need not judge, because God is the only judge. We don't know what they believe.
Amen.
We need to encourage. We need to love. We need not judge. We are not in charge of that. As a matter of fact, We need to look at ourselves. A lot of times the enemy will use that, and we don't need to worry about what they're doing. The enemy will use that, you know, our judgment. He'll catch all of our attention and distract us about what somebody else believes, and then we are totally missing what we believe. This morning, I want us to nail that down. We need not worry about what anybody else is doing, what anybody else believes. We need to worry about what we believe. That's the question this morning. Do you believe? Do you believe? Amen. I got another one for you. They asked Presley to recite scripture whenever Shannon witnessed her, Trenton sitting at her feet, witnessed her get her speech back. And she said, I want you to recite this scripture. And she picked her own scripture. She didn't recite the scripture that she said. And she started reciting, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it didn't come out like that the first time she said it. You know, and it finally came out. And then she tried to get and it finally came out. But she was saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then on the fourth time, she said it clear as a bell. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What if we believed that statement? Now, sometimes we actually say it with our mouths, but this morning as you walk out of here too, I want to know, do you believe that? Yes. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Do you believe it? Listen, imagine just a job interview. You walk into a job interview and they say, what is it you can do? I can do it all. I mean, imagine if that was the truth in our lives, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. I mean, imagine what that would mean in your life. I mean, if you actually lived and believed that, how powerful would that be in your life? How powerful would it be in your job or at school? Right, where you work, in your family. If you said, you know what, through Christ, not what I have done, but my family can make it because of you. How much better would your life be if you believed that? If you believe that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, your life would be totally different. Now, I don't want you to listen. This ain't no prosperity gospel. I'm not Joel Osteen up here telling you that everything's going to be perfect in your life. But what I am telling you is when the hard times hit, let me speak some truth to you this morning. We can't just constantly abound. I'm not saying that life is going to be perfect, but I'm saying that when those things come into our lives, that we're not going to just abound. Because if we do, eventually we're God. We don't need Him. But what we do is we live in that reality. We believe in the reality that I can get through this. I believe in you. I believe in what the Holy Scripture says, that I can do it through you who strengthens me. Amen. We can live. I may not have enough time this morning. We're going to keep going. I want to ask you this morning what the measure of your faith is. When you're looking at whether or not you believe, there's a lot of excuses. And the enemy is the perfect liar, right? He can use the perfect thing in your life to help you try to sneak around the truth. And let me tell you, I'm going to speak some truth to you again this morning. God gave us all an equal measure of faith. How do I know that? I can tell you why I know. God would not create you to know Him. He gave you the hunger to come here this morning, but He wouldn't create you to know Him and not give you enough faith to put your faith in Him. I'm going to say it again. God would not create you with an understanding of Him without giving you enough faith to put your faith in it. Right? So we all have the same opportunity, according to the scripture, that he has all given us a measure of faith. That means that we all have an equal opportunity to love him. So what's the difference? The difference is what we believe. Because we all had the same life. Now, I'm not going to sit up here and tell you that we all had the same opportunities in life. That's just not true. But I can tell you one thing, that people have made it very far in life because they believe that they can. It's all about what you believe this morning. I want to know, do you believe? And how large is the measure of your faith? Is your faith this morning a little faith? Or is it a whole lot? Miss Presley, how much is your faith this morning? It's a whole lot. It's a whole lot. Amen. But we've all been blessed. We've all been given air in our lungs. And we've all been given an equal measure of faith. The difference is what we believe. I got another for you. What if we told every negative situation in our life that we don't believe? What, you know, the devil is a liar, and he is perfect at lying, and he wants you to shape your life around his lies. Amen. So what if we believed so strongly, if our faith was so large, that when the devil shows up, that we call him a liar? Amen. Think about it for a moment. That when he shows up with the negativity in your life, I don't believe it. When he shows up and points out the shortcomings in your life, I don't believe it. When he talks about the sickness that you have in your life, I don't believe it. When he tells you that you can't make it in life, I don't believe that. When he tells you you can't lose weight, I don't believe it. When he tells you that you'll never get your finances in order, I rebuke that. Amen. You know, he says you'll never have a good marriage. Your marriage will never make it. And you say, you know what, devil, you're a liar. What? Thank you, T. What if he says you're too old for God to use you? You're too old for ministry, right? What if he just plain old says God can't use you for ministry? That's when you say, devil, you're a liar. Amen. I don't believe it. I refuse to believe it. It led me this week to a place where I was asking myself, are leaders born or are they made? Are leaders born or are they made? In other words, is a leader when they're two, and then you got little 5-year-old leaders, and then you got little, you know, 8-year-old leaders, and you got 10-year-old leaders and 15-year-old leaders, and then you got adult leaders. They're just leaders. They're natural born leaders. That really doesn't make any sense. Right, but people say that all the time. That man right there is a natural born leader. And you know what I think the truth is? The truth is that we all have a leader inside of us, and it's got to be drawn out. Amen. That we have to be a leader by believing what God tells us about ourselves. That we can choose. And that leads me. Listen, if you brought your Bible today, I know y'all were wondering, because I always start with scripture. And that was the longest introduction there ever was. But I promise we won't get out of here in a few minutes. Exodus chapter 4. Turn there. Exodus chapter 4. And I want to introduce you to a man. I want to introduce you to a man in Exodus 4 that was born for greatness. This man was born for greatness, but I would have never picked him. His name's Moses. This man was born to lead millions. He was born to start a revolution that would never end. You know, we look back and listen, God used Moses to write the Torah. Right? He wrote the majority of all the scriptures that the Jewish people always memorized. Moses was the patriarch. I mean, God chose him. And let me tell you, if there was ever somebody who had an excuse, right, that I can't lead, it was Moses. And I know that we all know that he had a speech problem. It says in the scriptures that his tongue was lazy. And we know that that means that he couldn't get his words out very quickly. It means he more than likely had a stutter. We know that about him. But I want to tell you something else. As we look about believing, and as we look about all the excuses that the devil wants to tell us, if there was ever someone who would have... If there was ever someone who would have an excuse, it was Moses. You know, we know that the very first years of our lives are very important. And let me tell you, Moses didn't have a crib with all the finest stuff wrapped around the top of it, right, with all the toys that hang over the top and spin around. He didn't have none of that, right? He didn't have a colorful bedroom. He didn't have all the love that he needed. How do I know that? I know that because he was hit out. He was on the hit list. His mother had to hide him. He was underneath the sink, or he was behind some furniture. You know, he was somewhere where he couldn't be seen for the first years of his life. It led to him being abandoned. His mother had to give him up. And I'm going to tell you, we all know that children who experience that, it's traumatic. Right in his life, he had not a mother and a father, but she put him in the river and she had to send him away because she knew that it would end in his death if she did it. But Moses had a purpose, y'all. And we all have a purpose. And Moses, hidden inside him, was a leader. Hidden inside him was a purpose. And his purpose was the kingdom of God. If there was ever someone who could be, had a reason to be confused about who he was, right? We're talking about the different environments of people. I mean, this man was Hebrew by birth, but he was Egyptian by circumstance. Right here, he found himself in the palace, and listen, that ain't where he belonged. The belief systems where he was not even the belief system that he belonged to. I want you to, you can stay seated. I'm going to kind of break up the scripture. We're going to read Exodus 4, 1 through 11. So Moses is already, he's at the burning bush, and God's already told him to take his sandals off. He's standing on holy ground. And I want to also tell you that Moses at this point is 80 years old. He's in the wilderness, and he's face to face with God Almighty. Moses answered, "What if they won't believe me and will not obey me, but say, 'The Lord did not appear to you'?" The Lord asked him, "What is that in your hand?" "A staff," he replied. "Throw it on the ground," he said. So Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. The Lord told Moses, "Stretch out your hand and grab it by the tail." So he stretched out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand again. "This will take place," he continued, "so that they will believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you." In addition, the Lord said to him, "Put your hand inside your cloak." So he put his hand inside of his cloak. And then when he took it out, his hand was diseased, resembling snow. "Put your hand back inside your cloak," God said to him. So he put his hand back inside the cloak, and when he took it out again, it became like the rest of his skin. Let's stop there for a moment. Now the snake miracle got his attention. Right, whenever he laid his staff down and it became a snake, it says he ran from it. It got his attention. It would have got mine too. But God says, "Reach down there and grab it again," and it became a staff in his hand again. That staff became the rod of God from this day forward. Amen. But let me tell you this. You know why the second miracle happened? The first miracle got his attention, but the second miracle let him know what he needed to believe. I don't know if you know this or not, but when he put his hand in his cloak and he brought it out, his hand was white. You know why his hand was white? It's because he had leprosy. In the context in which this is written, when you had leprosy, that you were isolated. From that moment on, it was a fatal disease. It was a terminal illness. He knew from that moment on, whenever he, as soon as he saw, you can imagine his face, he saw, I have leprosy. That meant that he would be immediately isolated. That he would no longer be with his family anymore. That he would be alone. Forever. That it was certain that he would die. He gave him a terminal illness, y'all. When he brings his hand out and his leper, he has leprosy on it. He knew exactly what it meant. There was no getting around it. So when he puts his hand back inside of his cloak and he brings it out again and it looks, it's healed. God healed him right there. And you know what he was saying to him? He was saying, until you believe, Moses, they'll never believe. I want you to think about that. Until you believe, they will never believe. Turn with your Bible with me to Matthew 9. Hold your place in Exodus 4. Turn to Matthew 9, verse 20 and 21. In this account, Jesus, a man, he is an important guy in the place where they are. And he comes to Jesus and he says, Jesus, my daughter has died. I need you to come and heal her. I know that if you put your hand on her, that she'll come alive again. And Jesus says, okay. And it says that Jesus and his disciples follow this man. But listen, what I want to talk about right now is what happens on the way. Look at verses 20 and 21 of Matthew chapter 9. So he's walking to find this little girl with this man. But it says, just then, a woman who had suffered from bleeding for 12 years approached from behind and touched the end of his robe. For she said to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I'll be made well. Jesus turned to her and he saw her and he says, have courage, daughter, he said. Your faith has saved you. And the woman was made well from that moment on. So listen, in this small account of Jesus' day, he's going and he heals that young girl that he's going to put his hands on for that father. But as he's headed there, there's a woman that's been bleeding for 12 years. She is ill. She is certain to die, but she knows one thing. She believes with all her heart that if I can only touch the hem of his garment, she says, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole again, it says in some translations. I'll be made whole. She knows she's putting one foot in front of the other because she believes if I can just get to where he is, if I can just get to where he is, if I can just get to where he is, if I can just touch the hem of his garment. And it says that because of that belief, she was made well again. And that's the same thing that God was showing to Moses in Exodus 4. He was showing him that he is the one who is in control and he has the power to heal. But only if you believe. That's exactly right. Yeah, I don't know if you notice how many times the word believe is in this text, but it's a lot. But just like that lady who followed him, her belief is what saved her. Let's continue in the text in Exodus 4. Verse 8. If they will not believe you and will not respond to the evidence of the first sign, the staff, they may believe the evidence of the second sign. And if they don't believe even these two signs or listen to what you say, take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground, and the water you take from the Nile will become blood on the ground. But Moses replied to the Lord, please, Lord, I have never been eloquent either in the past or recently since you have been speaking to your servant, because my mouth and my tongue are sluggish. And look what God says in verse 11. The Lord said to him, "Who placed a mouth on humans? Who makes a person mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord?" You know what he was saying to him? He was saying, "Moses, I'm going to take the weakest thing on you, and I'm going to do the largest thing in history." What's the measure of your faith this morning? How big is your faith? Moses was standing there and he was like, "I can't even speak. My mouth, Lord, I can't do this." And God says, "No, you can't, but I can." He used Moses from this point on to free millions of people from bondage. From this point on, he used the weakest thing on Moses to do the largest thing. I don't know if you can wrap your mind around that. The largest thing in history. Here's the invitation this morning. Miss Preston's going to come up and sing in a moment. But I want you to know, I'm asking you this morning if you believe. Do you believe? And today can change your story. Just like Moses. Moses chose to say yes. He chose that day to believe, "Yes, God, you can use me." You know, I don't know if you think it's too late, but it's never too late. God can use you today. I don't know who you look to for your identity. Your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife. Your identity does not come from them. Your identity comes from God. He sent Christ to die on the cross. And this morning I want to know if you believe that he did. Do you believe this morning that he can heal you? Do you believe this morning that he can deliver you, just like he did the people of Israel? Do you believe that he can save you? Do you believe that he can change you? And do you believe that he can use you? Do you believe? I'm going to lead us in the sinner's prayer. Listen, there's nothing magical about salvation. It's all about believing. As we pray, it's as easy as ABC. And the first one is admitting that you're a sinner. The second one is believing that Jesus came, lived the sinless life, and he died on the cross for your sins. And the last one is confessing that he's Lord of your life. It's just that easy. It's as easy as ABC. And if you want to believe in him and you want to nail it down today so that you don't get to the end, which we will all be there, then you can pray today for God to save you. That he can send Jesus into your heart and into your life. Before we pray, though, I also want you to know that whenever you get done, if you pray that, that you must come forth, that you must claim Jesus. In the scriptures it says that if you proclaim his name in front of man, that he will proclaim your name to his Father in heaven. But if you deny him in front of man, he'll deny you to his Father in heaven. So if you pray the sinner's prayer, whenever Presley's singing and I'm standing right here, all you have to do is come out in the aisle and come forth. We want to celebrate with you. also baptism. If you have already given your life to Christ, if you already know Jesus, but you've never been baptized, you need to nail that down. What do you believe? You need to show the world that you believe. You need to come forward today and say, "Pastor, I already know Jesus, but I want to be baptized." Amen. And lastly, you may have been saved and baptized, but you don't belong. You're not a member of this church, but you feel that God wants you to be. And you can come forth for membership this morning, that you can come join God in what He's doing at Page Heights, and you can get that out of here, what the enemy's been telling you, that God can't use you, because He can use you. And you can tell the devil, "I don't believe it." You can come forward today. When Presley's singing, I'm going to be standing down here. And you can come forward for any of those things. If you pray for salvation, if you want to be baptized, or if you'd like to join Page Heights, I'm going to lead us in the sinner's prayer. And if you don't know Jesus, I want you to pray with me. You can just pray right there to yourself. Heavenly Father, I'm a sinner. And I repent of my sins. I know that Jesus came and lived a sinless life, that He died on the cross for my sins. And Father, I ask that You would send Jesus to dwell in my heart, that You would change me from the inside out. Father, the best way I know how, I give my life to You. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, they say that every time a sinner prays that prayer, they have a celebration in heaven. And listen, if you prayed it, they're celebrating for you right now. Let's give the Lord a hand. Miss Presley, come on. She is going to sing. We're all going to stand to our feet. And if God is working in your heart, come forward.
The doctors told me that I could never sing again, okay? And they told me I'd never be able to lift my hand again or my feet, but we know that's wrong, right?
Amen.
So, we're going to show up at the enemy's alive.
we're going to call the enemy alive. Amen. Okay.
Every moment of my wandering, every change.